Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Magna Carta, The Birth of Liberty by historian Dan Jones, revisits the dramatic crisis of King John's reign that culminated in the sealing of Magna Carta in 1215. Rather than treating the charter as a timeless manifesto, Jones frames it as a hard-fought political settlement born from military failure, financial pressure, aristocratic rebellion, and a collapsing relationship between crown and church. The book places readers amid the personalities and power networks that shaped events, from John's ruthless pragmatism to the baronial coalition determined to limit royal overreach. Jones also tracks how a document drafted to solve immediate problems escaped its moment, repeatedly reissued, reinterpreted, and ultimately mythologized into a symbol of lawful government. Written for general readers, the narrative balances vivid storytelling with clear explanations of medieval institutions, showing why the summer at Runnymede mattered and how later generations transformed its meaning. The result is a focused history of an event and an idea that still anchors debates about rights and authority. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, King John and the breakdown of royal authority. A central topic is how King John's style of rule created the conditions for open resistance. The book emphasizes that the crisis was not caused by a single bad decision, but by a pattern, aggressive revenue extraction, arbitrary justice, and mistrust between the king and the political nation. John inherited a vast Angevin inheritance under strain, and his failures in war and diplomacy made his need for money and control even sharper. Jones explains how feudal obligations, scutage, and wardship could be stretched to fund campaigns, and how that stretching felt like exploitation to those forced to pay. The narrative also highlights the human and institutional realities of medieval kingship, a court that traveled constantly, a bureaucracy capable of detailed record-keeping, and a ruler who could reward loyalty or punish dissent with speed. By following disputes with leading magnates and the growing sense that the king was acting outside custom, the book shows why John's authority became brittle. When royal power looks unpredictable, even those who benefit from the system begin to seek constraints, creating the political momentum that made a negotiated settlement possible. Secondly, baronial rebellion and the politics of leverage. Jones explores rebellion not as romantic uprising, but as calculated bargaining backed by force. The barons were not attempting to end monarchy. They wanted security for their property, predictable governance, and mechanisms to hold the king to agreed standards. The book details how opposition organized itself through oaths, alliances, and the seizure of strategic locations, using control of castles and key cities to gain leverage. London's role is treated as crucial, since urban wealth and political symbolism could shift the balance in negotiations. Jones also clarifies that the rebel coalition was not perfectly united. Different nobles had different grievances, and personal rivalries mattered, yet shared fear of unchecked royal power created enough cohesion to act. The negotiations that followed were shaped by military reality. Neither side could easily destroy the other without catastrophic cost, which made compromise attractive. By presenting rebellion as a familiar political process, pressure, bargaining, and face-saving, the book helps readers understand Magna Carta as an outcome of power relations. It also underlines that the Charter's immediate purpose was practical conflict management, not abstract philosophy. Thirdly, the making of Magna Carta, clauses, customs, and enforcement. Another key topic is what Magna Carta actually attempted to do in 1215. Jones explains how the Charter drew on earlier legal customs, coronation promises, and aristocratic expectations to set boundaries on royal behavior. While later ages would read it as a statement of universal liberty, its clauses were largely technical and targeted. Regulation of feudal incidents, limits on certain payments, protections for heirs and widows, and standards for lawful procedure. The book also points out that the document mattered because it tried to create enforcement. The famous security arrangements, often summarized as a council of barons empowered to compel compliance, show that the drafters anticipated the king might backslide. Jones describes how such a mechanism was extraordinary in a society built on personal loyalty, and why it made the agreement unstable. By walking readers through the charter as a political instrument, the book demystifies it without diminishing its significance. Understanding the mix of narrow provisions and broader principles helps explain why Magna Carta could be both a failed peace treaty in the short term and a foundational reference point over the long term. Fourthly, church, papacy, and the international dimension. Jones places Magna Carta within the wider web of medieval Christendom, showing how international politics and the church shaped English events. King John's earlier conflict with the papacy over the appointment of an archbishop had led to interdict and excommunication, weakening his legitimacy and draining political capital. When John later sought papal support, he reframed himself as a faithful ruler under papal protection, turning the crisis into an issue that reached beyond England's baronage. The book explains how papal authority operated not only spiritually but diplomatically, influencing alliances and the legal status of agreements. This mattered at Runnymede because the charter could be judged, annulled, or supported by external power. Jones highlights that the papacy's priorities were not identical to either the king's or the baron's priorities. Rome sought stability and the preservation of its own claims, and it viewed coercive limits on a crowned monarch with suspicion. By tracing these interactions, the book reveals why Magna Carta quickly became entangled in broader disputes and why its first version was politically fragile. The church dimension also helps readers see medieval law as a blend of local custom and transnational authority. Lastly, Afterlife and Myth, from failed settlement to symbol of liberty, a major theme is the transformation of Magna Carta from a contested 12-5 document into an enduring symbol. Jones explains that the charter's immediate impact was limited and its peace short-lived, with civil war, foreign intervention, and the eventual reissuing of revised charters under later rulers. Yet those reissues kept the idea alive that the king's power could be articulated, constrained, and publicly recorded. Over time, lawyers, parliamentarians, and political thinkers treated Magna Carta as a reference point, sometimes selectively, to argue for due process, consent to taxation, and the rule of law. The book shows how memory works in politics. Later generations project their priorities onto an earlier text, turning a medieval settlement among elites into a broader emblem of rights. Jones also addresses why the legend became so powerful in English and later American political culture, where it could be invoked against tyranny. By distinguishing the medieval context from the later mythology, the book allows readers to appreciate both the historical Magna Carta and the symbolic Magna Carta, The afterlife is presented not as simple misreading, but as part of how constitutional traditions evolve through reinterpretation. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want an engaging, historically grounded account of how Magna Carta emerged and why it still matters, including students, general history fans, and anyone curious about the origins of lawful government. It is especially helpful for readers who have absorbed Magna Carta as a vague symbol but have never seen the political mechanics behind it. By focusing on the personalities, institutions, and pressures of early 13th century England, the book can sharpen your understanding of how rights arguments often begin as practical struggles over power, money, and procedure. That perspective benefits everyday civic thinking. It encourages skepticism towards simple origin stories while showing how durable principles can grow out of imperfect compromises. Compared with many similar books, Jones offers a narrative that is both accessible and precise, avoiding dense legalism without turning the charter into pure legend. The emphasis on contingency, enforcement, and the charter's afterlife helps you connect the medieval moment to later constitutional debates. For buyers choosing among introductions to Magna Carta, this one is worth purchasing for its balance of storytelling and explanation, and for its clear separation of what Magna Carta was in 1215 from what it became in political memory. If you would like to support Dan Jones, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.